WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The North Koreans have refused to let the International Atomic Energy Agency inspect their nuclear facilities. This has reinforced suspicions that the North Koreans are developing or have developed a nuclear weapon. The UN has warned of a possible trade embargo if North Korea doesn't cooperate. North Korea has said it would interpret economic sanctions as an act of war. In the first part of our show, Selig Harrison said the North Koreans are playing the nuclear card to gain diplomatic recognition from the United States. Harrison says we should negotiate with them. Charles Krauthammer says we've already made too many concessions. Krauthammer is a syndicated columnist and an essayist for Time magazine. I asked him what he thinks North Korea really wants.
I think they want the bomb.
And what do you think that's what they really want?
Well, if you were a North Korean and you have the history that they have of an invasion in 1950 of the South Korea and ultimately having to settle for a stalemate, seeing the power that the bomb brings to other countries, if you had no economy as they do, they have no economy, they have really no prospects in the future. The bomb is their reach for power, for respect, for attention. And it also, for them, would be an enormous source of hard currency. They produce nothing that the world wants. This would be something that a lot of countries with a lot of cash want. It would be their greatest export. In fact, today, the CIA tells me, the major hard currency earner for North Korea are ballistic missiles. So these are people who want the bomb for power and for commerce.
So you think they'd be selling plutonium to other countries or actual bombs?
Well, I don't know about the details of their transactions. They would be in a position to sell both. But I'm sure that if they were a buyer with the correct anti-American ideology and the right cash, of which there are several countries, they'd be in a position to sell. They have had no hesitation in selling deadly ballistic missiles to countries extremely unfriendly to us.
What do you make of the argument that what North Korea really wants is to use plutonium and nuclear weapons as a bargaining chip in order to normalize relations with the United States and open up trade?
I used to be a psychiatrist. We would call that projection. Projecting on somebody else one's own wishes and ideas. That's a Western idea. That what's important in life is getting diplomatic recognition and getting a little bit of foreign aid and some trade and all the things that a bourgeois society values. Those are not the values of Kim Il-sung. And to pretend that it is, I think, is really terrible wishful thinking. There's also no evidence whatsoever that that's true. The North Koreans have been given by the Clinton administration every chance, every 3 weeks we return after being slapped in the face and say, look, what we think is that you really want all these little goodies. Here they are. All you have to do is allow inspections, and they slap us in the face again. There's not an iota of evidence that that's what they really want. They've had every opportunity to get it, and they have rejected it. All the evidence for the last year is that what they want is the bomb. They would also like to have the other goodies on the side by threats and promises, which in the end they break, but that they'd be willing to give up the bomb for that, there's not an iota of evidence.
What are the goodies you're referring to?
Well, diplomatic recognition. For example, when they first announced last year that they were withdrawing from the Non-Proliferation Treaty, we offered them to get them to induce them to suspend that decision. We offered them high-level meetings with the United States, something which they have not had in 40 years. They got that for free, because in the end, they didn't allow the kinds of inspections that we had wanted. Number two, they have always wanted us to cancel or suspend our military exercises with South Korea. We dangled that in front of them last year and said, look, if you give up the bomb, we'll cancel our maneuvers. Well, they haven't given it up. And in fact, thinking that they had, we had announced a suspension of Team Spirit. That's the name of the exercise of last year. So they pocketed that. We have also offered them, if they they cooperate with their national inspections, aid and official diplomatic recognition. And so far, they've had all of these offers, and they have, in return, given us less than nothing. They have given us, they were required to allow inspections of undeclared sites. That's now off the table. They offered, they said they were offering last year to allow us to inspect 7 declared sites, and as you know, they reneged on that just last month. So they have proceeded with their program. They have pocketed a few of the goodies that we have offered them, and we have received nothing in return.
I just want to clarify something. You said that we had announced suspension of Team Spirit. Did the administration say that we will go forward with some of the military exercises?
It's been very interesting how cagey and delicate we have been about that. We have refused to announce a date for the resumption of Team Spirit, which would be a way of definitively saying that they're back. We have simply said we're going to resume it, but we've been very cagey in saying, well, we in the South, the Koreans, are still discussing it, which is a way of sending a signal to North Korea that, you know, if you play ball with us a little bit more, we won't be pushing on this issue.
Now that the Cold War is over, do you think it might be in the best interest of the United States to try to normalize relations with North Korea?
Well, only if they go non-nuclear. I think it would be worth it as a trade, but there's no evidence that that they would accept that trade.
But haven't they offered to give up the nuclear program in return for economic recognition and trade?
Well, no, they haven't. And in fact, we learned last week that during this whole year of negotiations, when we assumed that was so, they have been increasing their capacity to separate plutonium and to produce the bomb. Now, if you were really going to use this bomb program only as a bargaining chip but to get all the goodies that others have said that that's all they want, why would you at the same time be expanding the program? They're developing 2 new reactors, which by 1996 they will give them the capacity to produce 30 bombs a year, not 1 or 2, but 30, a veritable bomb factory. Now, why would all that material, all that effort, all that financial resources be going into this program if all they wanted to do was to bargain it away?
North Korea has said it would interpret economic sanctions against it as an act of war. What do you think North Korea is threatening to do in the near future?
Well, it's threatening to use its ostensible conventional superiority and its ability to probably wreck Seoul, the capital of South Korea. It's using that threat to completely stymie any American attempt to stop them from getting the bomb. And by threatening us that anything that we do, even short of war, I mean, short of a military strike, just sanctions, would be a cause of war, they are, as of now, successfully preventing us from doing anything significant to stop them from getting the bomb.
If, you know, North Korea is threatening war, what do you have any sense of what they would do if they declared war?
Well, there are many things that they can do, first of all, short of war. This is a regime that has ruthlessly and repeatedly used the most egregious kind of terrorism to advance its aims. It blew up a South Korean airliner as a way to try to jeopardize the 88 Olympics. But the worst scenario is that their million-man army, which is poised on the DMZ, on the border, comes over the border, overwhelms the American and South Korean defenders, and is able to reach and wreck Seoul, which is only 35 miles away.
If you're just joining us, my guest is syndicated columnist and Time magazine essayist Charles Krauthammer. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer is my guest. We're talking about North Korea. How close do you think North Korea is to actually having an atom bomb?
According to the CIA, it already has it. Has 1, probably 2. And the administration position today, well, it used to be, President Clinton said last year we will not allow the North Koreans to develop a bomb. Well, now we've backed off that. This is a president who backs off everything in foreign policy. He's backed off that, And our position is, okay, they can have the one or the two that they have now, but we're going to be very strong and very firm in not allowing them to develop anymore. Well, let's see if they can hold that line now.
I thought the CIA had said that North Korea has enough plutonium for one or two bombs, but that wouldn't mean they have the technology for the bomb.
Well, nobody knows if the bomb has been put together, but we assume that they have the plutonium, and we assume that they have the know-how to put it together.
Sum up for us what you would recommend the Clinton administration do.
Well, I think that we wasted a year, and we showed a tremendous amount of weakness. And I'm not sure at this point that there's any way to convince the Koreans that we are serious in the way that that the Bush administration had demonstrated years ago that we would be serious about the invasion of Kuwait. We have repeated so many times that our highest priority is to prevent a war on the Korean Peninsula that I think that the North Koreans have the impression that we will do in the end nothing to stop them. That said, I think it's absolutely imperative that we go immediately to economic sanctions. We've given the North Koreans 6 weeks, another 6 weeks, after already a year of being strung along. We've given them another 6 weeks to shape up on these inspections. There's little prospect that they will. It's very important for us to work with the Chinese and to say to them that the stopping of the North Korean program is the most important priority that we have in all of East Asia. And if they want our relations to remain good with us, they're going to have to at least abstain at the UN and allow a sanctions resolution to pass. Otherwise, they'll be jeopardizing their trade relations with us, which are very important to the Chinese. And lastly, we have to beef up our forces in South Korea. We don't want a war. We certainly would not start a war. But as we learned in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, the more forces that we have in place, the less risk we have in the end. If there is an invasion, we only have 37,000 troops. They are extremely exposed. We could have tremendously high casualties. I think we have to start a program reinforcing our troops in the South.
If we do enact economic sanctions against North Korea, is it possible that China would actually be able to get goods across the border since China and North Korea share a border? And would that actually strengthen ties between North Korea and China?
Well, the strengthening of ties isn't that important. The question is whether China would sustain the North Koreans enough to vitiate the effects of sanctions.
Well, what do you think?
It's possible. It's very possible. China supplies 3/4 of North Korea's oil. If the other quarter is cut off from the rest of the world and the Chinese make it up, then our sanctions are worthless, which is precisely why we should be making extremely clear to the Chinese that cooperation on this issue is the single most important issue in U.S.-Chinese relations. Unfortunately, we have made human rights in China the paramount issue. I'm not against making it an issue. I think it's very important. But at this particular junction in history, where the North Korean bomb is about to come onto the scene, I think it's irresponsible not to make a difficult but very important choice, and that is to say to the Chinese, we need and want and demand your cooperation on North Korea. We don't want you to make up for whatever is going to be cut off by the rest of the world.
After all the problems with military intervention in Somalia and all of the question marks that still remain about our role in Bosnia, would you want to see the United States become more militarily involved in Korea?
Well, I think you really have to draw a distinction. You can't just say I'm for military involvement in general or I'm for non-military involvement in general. It makes no sense. It's sort of a mindless policy. The United States ought to take military risks where our national interests are at stake and where very important threats are involved. North Korea is such a place. In Somalia, we had zero national interest. We had a humanitarian interest. It was kind of like an earthquake rescue, but it had nothing at all to do with American national interest. And that's why, in the end, there was no public support when the price in American lives was high. I have a similar perspective on Bosnia, where I think our national interest is rather minimal. There's We can argue about that, and that, I think, also is a shared perception by Americans, and that's why we haven't been involved. But non-proliferation has been declared by people on the left, on the right, by Democrats and Republicans, by Clinton, everybody, as the major threat to the United States and its friends over the next decade or two. The worst threat, I mean, the only real threat to the safety of the lives of the people living in New York or Los Angeles or Philadelphia or anywhere is of a rogue state or a terrorist group getting its hands on the bomb. And if non-proliferation is not an important enough issue to make a stand on, then there's no issue in the world.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Charles Krauthammer is a syndicated columnist and an essayist for Time magazine. This is Fresh Air.